Thank you for downloading this episode of the Dad Podcast. You want to help support the show? Tell your friends. Get the word out. Facebook, Twitter, smoke signals. Maybe even take out a Craigslist personal. Whatever you gotta do. Welcome to the Dad Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Worsham. With me, as always, is the one, the only, Paco Lancini, a.k.a. Adam Dooley. How are you on this fine day, sir?
I feel good.
Nailed it!
Thank you. Crushed it.
I built the build-up and then bump set. Spikey drives it home. Why are you so depressed?
No, as usual, I am very excited to be here. We missed out on one last week, and I feel those.
You feel it when we miss it?
Yeah, it hurts.
It hurts a little? Yeah. Is there, what is it? Is it the show? Is it listening to me bitch and moan? Is it just being
basking in
my glow?
Yeah, that's it.
That's it?
That's it.
That's probably what it is?
Okay. No, I suddenly... I was driving home on Friday with Diego from, I picked him up from school, and I suddenly, you know, he's in the car with me, and I go, wait a minute, I never got to do my my moment of the week. Yeah. He didn't even ask me about it.
And sorry.
I was convinced that we had done a show, and you had neglected to ask me, and then I realized we hadn't even done the show, so I'm just demented, is what I am.
I like in this scenario that I am hurtful. That I am...
Yeah, right.
Like,
in my mind, I'm like, that son of a bitch,
we don't have time for
me.
We don't have time for your moments, all right? Let me tell you more about the PTA, bitch.
Yes, hip-hop dance and everything.
Let's see what's going on. I had a conversation recently. I went on a road trip this weekend and was talking to a guy who does not have kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that I was bitching about my own children and my own life to someone who probably cared if there was a negative level of caring.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The example of could not care less.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, right. I know you get all wrapped up in that.
No, it's fine. That's the right one.
What's the one?
People say I couldn't care less.
What's wrong with couldn't care less?
They say I could care less.
I could care
which
less.
Which means they care somewhat.
What
they mean is I couldn't care less. There is no less care available to them.
Got it. This person could not care less.
There you go.
As long as I got an odd number out there, I'm fine. Mm-hmm. But one of the things I stumbled upon, and I know that I've talked about it here on the show, but it was this thing with, I just keep going back to my grandfather farming 180 acres. I know I've beat this to death, but I was reminded in that I got up and went to work at 2:30 in the morning, and then I worked
here
all day,
right?
I got a full-time job. Daddy works 9 to 5, 5 to 9, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
And then I come home, I take care of the kids, and then I got to drive to Vegas, and I'm going to get into Vegas about 8 or 9, sleep, get up, work all day in Vegas.
Oh, you weren't there to gamble and whore. You were there to work.
Oh, God. And this is part of the reason also why I bring this up.
Yeah.
So while I'm there, I can't get over the fact that there's a pussification that's happening that is no bueno to me. You know what I mean? That my son comes home and he's emotionally distraught over how hard addition is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, I want to make it clear before anybody starts sending emails to CPS. It's not like I'm not saying he can't be upset. That's not my point here.
Right.
My point is to say that he is upset about addition.
Mm-hmm.
And yet his great-grandfather plowed 180 acres of cotton.
Yeah.
And there was no room for him to be upset. There was not a level of comfort to where he had time to be upset.
Yes.
And so therefore, I think that is better for everyone.
Yes. Was he a farmer his whole life?
Yes. No. He became a truck driver later on in
later.
Life.
Okay. Either way, but particularly with farming.
Ironically, that's when he really started making money.
Did he?
Yeah. A lot of the farmers I know now do really well for themselves, but my grandfather was a very poor farmer. Until he got the truck driving job, and that was.
And then he was a great farmer? No, then he was just not a farmer.
No, he was.
I was going to say
a great truck driver.
That farming does involve simple addition, but you shadow my point because he wasn't a good farmer. Maybe he was also struggling with the simple math.
That's an interesting point that I never thought of. Is that could his income be equated to how good he was as a farmer? I don't know that.
Right.
I don't know
that. Or his level of schooling, you know.
I wasn't there. I don't think the school, but here's what I can't speak of. Yeah. His emotional state was pretty solid. I mean, yes, did he have a temper? Sure. As an old man.
This is Jesse's father.
Yes. He is also named Jesse, or was, God rest his soul. But
yeah. Not the most creative guy, though.
No. Well, no. Very creative, because yes. He wanted to name my father Ralph Duke. Because he liked John Wayne and he liked the name Ralph. Put your hands together, Ralph Duke. That's it. My grandmother said, nope.
Wow.
You're not calling our son Ralph Duke. So his backup request was that all of the kids had initials they could go by. So my father's supposed to be JR, the guy who got shot on that drama.
Sure.
So I don't know. Evidently not based on a real true story.
No, apparently not. Dallas No.
So the guy from I Dream of Jeannie was not portrayed by portraying my father.
You'd think the genie would have protected him.
Right.
She from the shot. She could have seen it coming.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they could have had like synergy.
Put up a silver bracelet or something.
Yeah. Reimagination happening.
Yes.
Bring I Dream of Genie back to the 80s.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Missed opportunity. That's
absolutely
what we've learned. If there's one thing we've learned about my son getting upset about arithmetic, it is that it was a missed opportunity to bring back I Dream of Genie.
True enough. So was he having one of his bitch fits over
it? Yes, bitch fits.
No.
That's a great way to put it, where it's just like, I just tell him, I go, listen, man, you can, sure, we can go through this every day, but it's not going to change. And that's what my life is, and I'm sure everyone's is, with seven-year-olds. My life is filled with bitch fits about, the insignificant toys in my life these children.
The insignificant what?
Toys.
Toys. Oh, okay.
These children. But did you think I said boys?
I thought you said toys.
Toys? What's a toys?
Well, that was why I stopped and asked. I thought, maybe I'm learning a word here.
Sometimes I would like to be in your head and watch me talk just to see if it is constantly like. Did he say toys in there? Is that
right. No, I.
Or is it you hear the word choice and then everything else is white noise while you try to figure out what that word was?
Well, sort of. I thought, was that choice? And then it didn't make any sense. Any word I could fill in there didn't make any sense to what you were saying. So he
got as a gift in the class, because now everything is ruining everything. These fucking people at the school, you can't make cookies or cupcakes and bring them to the school anymore
because
every kid's got a fucking gluten, non-tolerant, hippie, hair-pitted mother and you know, asshole yoga-doing dad who can't allow their kid to enjoy wheat or whey. Or, but now the nut allergy thing, I get it. I get that. Now, there's a part of me that still kind of looks at it and goes, how does it become more prevalent all of a sudden?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't buy, I get that there are parents out there whose kids have nut allergies, and that's just a level of perspective that I do not have.
Yes.
So I will move past that. But why is it that, like, especially someone like me, all you got to do is say, hey, we got a nut situation here. And I'd be like, great. And let the kids have a fucking party.
Right.
You know what they have to do now?
No.
They have to fucking... here's what it is. Everybody in elementary school has to be the overachiever that everybody else hated. We have to bring a book. You have to bring a book to donate to the class in the kid's name.
We've done that.
Kid is some kind of old lady who used to make crafts for the children and read to them at the library. So then after she passes away, they put some kind of shitty bench outside for bums to sleep and piss themselves
on. How does this tie to the overachiever?
Because you have to bring a book. Who the fuck wants to read a book on their birthday when they're seven?
Oh,
why
I
is
see.
The book? Why does it have to be the whole idea? The whole bonus part of the birthday for anyone who is not Jehovah's Witness in school right. is that you don't have to do what you normally do in school. Right. You get a day off. You get to hang back, eat a cupcake, have a slice of pizza, yeah. fuck around for a little bit. No, now you got to listen to somebody's asshole mom read some book that you don't want to hear because... I mean, realistically, how many books that are at that age level? I'm talking like 7. Let's go all the way up to 10.
Yeah.
How many books are that interesting to listen to? How many? I mean, well, I give you Dr. Seuss.
Okay.
I'll give you Dr. Seuss. Everybody gets all uppity about this fucking Goodnight Moon bullshit.
Yeah.
No, that is a crazy drugged out weirdo.
Oh, you know the one
random,
I hate?
Yeah.
The one I hate, and I'm going to get mail.
Uh-oh.
Is, I forget it.
That's why you're going to get married.
Let me look it up.
Somebody's. Hold on. Tell me what you, just so we can all already okay. know it before you do. Yes. What is it that you are going to put in that magic computer of yours to have it spit back to you the answer that your brain could not find?
Well, I'm going to type in what I was about to say, and then that shows me the book.
Tell me what you were about to say while you type it, pretty please.
I love you this much. Now, even if that's not the name of the book, it's going to show me something. Images.
How many books do you think are called I Love You This Much, though?
I don't know, but I'm not seeing the one I'm...
Yeah, exactly. Oh, that's shit. What I mean. There's no kids' book. You can't just... This is what I love. This. Now, listen, no, I'm going to be honest.
Yes.
4 months ago, you were not like this. This is post... This is post-50 Paco that we're dealing
oh,
with.
Oh, boy.
This
yeah.
is 50
yeah.
Apocalypse.
Oh my goodness!
This is the, and I look. Listen, this is another thing I love to talk about. I look forward to becoming the old guy who could believe I'm just going to fling a sentence into the internet and it will give me back the things I wish to receive from it.
Well,
you thought I could type "I love you this much" into the internet.
What is this damn book called? I'm starting to see images that are familiar, but. Oh my God, I'm so embarrassed.
This is the best part ever. This is the best part. I love you deep, I love you wide.
Oh no, 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 that's a different book.
Oh, I love that too.
I know there's a phrase from it. Here we go.
Oh, that's good stuff. That is just good old fashioned stuff.
I am highly embarrassed. It's Guess How Much I Love You is what I was thinking.
Guess
of.
How Much I Love. Oh, I think yes. we read that. Why do you hate that one so much?
I'll tell you why.
I'm listening.
Because there's something, like, to me, there's something insidious about the book. Like, no matter how much the kid says that they love their mother or the father, whatever it's supposed to be, they never get it to be the most. It's always like this competition of who can love who more. Why can't we just love each other? Why does it have to keep escalating?
Why are you all socialist with your love? You think everybody should have the same amount of love?
Well,
yeah. I don't, what's up? You want to fling another question to the internet?
How to get away with murder? No, I just feel like there's like this.
You could do it in here. It's pretty soundproof. Nobody's coming home for like 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah.
Other than the fact that, thank God, I started doing Periscope.
That's right. Yo, saved your life.
Oh, thank you guys. Thank you guys very much. At Dad Podcast on the Periscope, if you want to save my life.
Because
if that number ticks below the 3 people that are watching now, man, we're really doing good.
Oh no, that's
we're really
not good.
Doing good.
Big nut brown hair had even longer arms, but I love you this much.
Yeah.
It's, the kid, the little rabbit is always losing it. I don't understand why it needs to be a competition. That's
true.
All.
Love I is competitive.
I think there's kind of an insidious, like, one-upsmanship going on there that I don't care for.
So I went to Vegas, and on the way back, I saw lots of billboards for a place called Treasures, which is a gentleman's show steakhouse.
And steakhouse.
Because the vagina and the huge bazoombas are not enough, evidently.
Right.
For sure. Can you imagine being the guy who has that quality of life?
Yeah.
And you're like, you know what? I get hourglass figure and I get like asses clapping in my face
and naked
women who need the affection that their fathers didn't give them to be filled with 20s from my wallet. But you know what's missing? Porterhouse steak.
Yeah.
That's what I need.
Just meat.
I just need meat. I need some grilled, well-seasoned meat.
Yeah.
And
probably a lower grade of meat.
Well, that's what I was going to say. How good then, because here's the thing. if I go to even Outback, right? Yes. I expect a high quality steak.
You do.
Now, okay. If there are, you know, 36 D size breasts that come along with my Outback steak,
yes.
Am I more distracted by the bazoombas, if you would, the chesticles,
oh, yeah.
to not be so worried fully about my steak it. And whether or not it is well done, medium well? Yes, I would like it a little pink in the center.
Right. Well, both.
And then I'd like my steak as well.
Yeah. I would hazard a guess that at Treasures, the grade of steak is about the same as the grade of Dancer.
Mm.
A little tough.
A little rough around
some
the
scarring,
edges.
Yeah. Some marbling through.
Marbling. It's a great word. Well Thank done
you.
For that.
Thank you.
Kudos on marbling. That is good
so,
stuff.
So,
yeah. Jeez. Oh, well, here's the point. I bring it up because I think to end the point we started down.
Yeah.
You have to have a pretty good quality of life if you're like, you know what, boobs not enough. I also need some breasts or some meat involved. Now, then my other question, though, is to you and to the masses that listen to this on the interweb. I have a desire that I think will never be satiated.
And, oh, really?
Yeah.
Even with the afternoon delight.
Well, here's the thing. You may have given me a loop around.
Oh, no.
Being in Vegas.
Turn that off for a minute so I can finish.
My being in Vegas, how to say this out loud on the internet to live forever. I'll just fling it out there, see what happens. I'll do it like you do, Google searches.
You fucker.
I have a very strong curiosity to be with a professional fucker.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay, yes.
A lady of the night, if you would. Now, it is legit, and I'm assuming somewhat regulated on whatever level.
Yes.
In Las Vegas.
Right.
Now, stronger than obviously my curiosity is my love for my wife.
Mm-hmm.
All right? I will definitely do that. And here's the
Not
thing.
According to that survey we heard, by the way.
What survey is
the
that?
The one you talked about last time where it was sex over food, over this, over that. Sex was the strongest drive.
Well, here's the thing. My wife has become a very good cook as of late.
She was going to say she was very good at fucking.
She's also very good at that. Of like, I mean, primo. Now, here's the thing, though. Now, she may be guilty of the same exact thing. It is the nice part about the old school way of living where if you had limited sex partners, you know what I mean? For all I know, we could be having the most awkward, disgusting sex in the world, and we don't know that because we're primarily the only people we've had sex with.
Yes.
Now, if I had banged around with two...
Disgusting or just bad?
I don't know. It's great to both of us.
Okay.
I know that.
Because disgusting would be like an aberration, an act that is an offense to God.
It says you.
No. You're the one who chose the word disgusting rather than just like poor.
Okay.
I don't know. Anyway, go on. Okay. I just meant...
I missed my opportunity.
That's
back.
Right. Okay, so she's starting to cook better.
Yeah.
She's starting to cook better. I'll just take it back to that before I interrupted.
Okay.
Yes.
But what if, right? What if I am with a lady of the night and it is something that is, I can't imagine that it is. If I'm being completely transparent, can't imagine that it is. But what if it is so mind-blowingly good?
Yeah.
That and then all of a sudden it becomes I'm chasing that professional dragon, if you would.
Yeah.
Or what if it helps me find out that my wife is actually better than a lady of the night because it is actually the act of love that makes the sexual interaction that much more enjoyable.
Okay, well, in that case, your wife isn't technically better than the lady. You know what? You'd
she
have
is,
to
though.
Have me bang both of them.
Okay.
I think that's how this would end.
I need a control group.
Yeah, you need a control group.
That's what I need. All right. But then do I also need to bang a whore and Luna?
Sure. Just have at it, dude.
For karma.
Do your worst.
The ease in which we toss our ladies around. They're lucky.
No, hang on. No.
We're so romantic.
But you asked two questions.
Somebody said, ooh, boy. That's funny.
They
found a way to spell the word boy in a way that makes you go boy. That is awesome.
Oh, man.
Jessica says I'm overthinking it.
Yeah. you posed two hypothetical questions right on top of each other, and we never explored either of them. Both of them are worth exploring.
Maybe I don't want to know the answer.
The first one was, what if you liked it more?
Right.
So what if you liked it more?
if I liked it more, then I feel like I would live the my marriage would suffer subsequently.
Yeah.
Because I would be living going, man, I wish I could have this. I don't know. Here's the thing. I'm going to be 100% honest. As much as I threw this out on the table as a bit.
Yes.
Right?
You didn't really want to.
that I am a big fan of my wife. Yeah. Like, I love her a lot to the point where when I am not around her for any period of time, it weighs on me. It bothers me. I care for that woman a lot more than I care for those children. Those children can be gone for from my day any amount of time.
Yes.
And
the longer the better.
Yes and no. I mean, okay. I could probably go, all honestly, right now, I think I could go 3 to 7 years. No, I'm kidding. 3 to 7 days, maybe somewhere in there before I go, man, I miss them. But like today, I got to have lunch with my lovely wife.
Yeah.
We went to Togo's, which was awkward.
Is that what you're calling it?
Yeah. Okay. We went to Togo's, which was awkward for us to have the afternoon delights that we've grown accustomed to there while they were making our number 34 and chicken with boom boom sauce.
Over there?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Over on Pass Road.
Yeah, yeah.
So we were there and we're having the lunch and we were talking about the boys and I kind of was like, man, I can't wait to pick them up from school. It's going to be fun to be able to hang out. Now, we all know that as soon as I pick them up, they're going to do some asshole behavior thing to ruin that and make me question why I ever had them, created them, continue to care for them. All of those things will happen in the next 45 minutes. That's how life is.
Yes.
But so for all the fondness that I have, I think that obviously that's always going to overweigh my desire to. But do you have any curiosity or is it the uncleanliness that would keep you away from a prostitute?
Well, I don't know that a prostitute is any less clean than, say, a woman you met in the bar. Arguably, she would be cleaner.
Yeah, I don't want that. I don't want that. And I don't know. Uh-huh. Like, here's the thing. My wife is, as far as most women go.
Yeah.
She is very, this is a horrible way, but she is pure, if you would.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? She hasn't been with a ton of dudes.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? I've only been with 4 other women besides my wife.
Yes.
There is something about the idea of it. I don't want somebody who's sad on the inside. I want to find a professional.
Well, yeah.
I know. These may be the... But see, this is so disconnected from anything in my reality or my spectrum.
Yes.
And that maybe I create this idealistic brothel in my, you know
what
I mean?
Right,
where it's Helen Hunt as a sexual surrogate and I have an iron lung and I just want to feel the touch of a woman.
Yeah.
That was a movie I think that she did. I can't remember the title.
But The Sessions.
She was incomparable.
She was incomparable. It was called The Sessions.
Thank you.
John Hawke played the paraplegic.
The lung guy, the Stephen
Hawking. The lung
Hawking
guy, yeah.
The guy who was playing my perspective. The
the guy who played you. No,
but the idea of being with somebody who's like, I know exactly what to do technically.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
I do. Judging by some small amount of research I've done, there appear to be quite a few who technically know what to do. Mm-hmm. Just women out there in general.
Oh, women in general, no.
Yeah.
Well, that's the other thing. It's not that my wife doesn't know. Like, here's the thing. My wife, honest, perfect.
Yes, right.
Honest, this is what's weird about it.
Yeah.
She's absolutely perfect in every way. There's no part of me that goes, man, I wish we could do this. There's
and she's
no
sticking
part of
with
me.
That virginity story that she led with all those years ago?
Well, that's the thing.
Yeah.
Because her and I have a limited experience level,
right.
Whatever's going on is awesome for both of us. That's my honest opinion.
Okay.
It is, we are, to a certain extent, that baby tiger cub that was born blind, we don't know any different. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We don't have the desire
to tie. What does it you guys do with the blind tiger cub?
You guys don't have sex with a blind baby tiger cub?
No, I think we should take this up off the air.
Really?
Well, I
turn off the periscope.
PETA. Let's talk and about everything.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, no, the tiger loves it.
Okay.
It doesn't know any better.
Oh, my God. Listen,
oh, my God, me?
Well, no. We're just sort of sliding to the edge of something
it's
I'm not
comfortable
with. It's
a slippery slope. It's a slippery slope when I bring up prostitutes.
Listen, no,
oh
I think...
Oh, boy. He said again.
Oh, boy. Listen. Yes, like, the reality of the world, the reality of it all starts to spoil it. So it has to be this fantasy where
Yeah,
it's a person who's good at it,
yeah.
and isn't a yeah. lost soul,
yeah.
and all of that other stuff.
Yeah.
And then somehow, yeah. as long as we're having a fantasy, yeah. I don't look like this because
oh,
presumably it would require some nudity.
Yeah.
I think I might have answered the question differently at your age.
Oh,
where I might have been more sort of adventurous been, or whatever.
See, and that's the thing is that what I realize is that I'm not what you pointed out is that the fantasy aspect of this is that what I'm not thinking about, and I think what probably comes across most guys who. To kind of get serious a little bit,
yeah.
who have strayed from their ladies, is that you have this moment that kind of washes over you, and then immediately afterwards you go, oh, fuck, what the hell did I do? You know
right,
what I mean? Like,
right.
so afterwards I would probably just be – because there's no way that my wife is going to – like, she might say, yeah, sure, go do that for your 50th birthday, but
yeah.
she's not going to really mean it. You know what I mean? Like, she's going
right.
to be doing it for some – because she's balls deep in some pool boy, I would imagine. I don't know. I don't
right.
know what my wife
right.
has done when I was on the road
yeah.
or what she had time
she
to do.
She pushed so hard to have that pool installed.
Oh, my gosh.
I think it was just to get the pool boy
it
back
wasn't
there.
Even installed. She just wanted a big kiddie pool. Like
That's
what we
right. –
yeah. It was – I was like, I could clean this. She's like, nope, no, need a professional. There's chemicals.
We need a team. That's
yeah.
when you start. Should have started to be suspicious.
Guys, come and clean the pool. It's so weird. I don't know. I thought it was interesting while I was thinking about it to myself.
Yes.
That I wonder where it comes from. I mean, I get where it comes from, but.
I mean, I don't. Oh, there's so many things you've brought up, but because I'm not sure that infidelity, infidelity on either side. no, I'm just imagining Luna looking at the browser history. Of a series of questions.
I love
that
you
I'm
so much.
About
are prostitutes better than
right.
wives?
Yeah, right. Will I like, you know, humping a prostitute more than my wife? as long as
where's that
as long as book? The prostitute says I love you this much, then I'm in.
Right. Well, and what honestly also made it kind of cross my mind is the Lamar Odom story that
yeah.
kind of became popular
yeah.
within the last
yeah.
week where he just was feeling sad and went on a bender.
Right.
And I just feel like...
You know how people tell stories about 9/11? I was like, oh, I was supposed to be on that plane or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Just the timing of it, that could have been you.
Yeah.
I think that was... You dodged
yeah.
a bullet. That could have been you
I
at
could
the
have
ranch.
Been divorcing a Kardashian.
Yeah.
And been so distraught over the crumbling of my marriage
yes.
that I would then fill that void with other women who only wanted me for my money and my acclaim.
Right. Is it? I'm not sure who floated the whole idea that it was because he was reeling from the heartache of losing a Kardashian. I have a feeling it was their PR people that
yeah.
put that out there because
possibly
it's many. I would go as far as to say dozens of people. In over the course of history, have had problems with drugs and alcohol that had nothing to do with the Kardashians. They might not have even known.
I think we're going to have to agree to disagree on that.
Okay,
I think
too
that
close
you
to
are.
Call.
Yeah, I think you are way off base.
Yeah,
there's no way.
Yeah, in fact, when he came out, when he came to, and she was sitting there, and he dove for a bottle. That might have been a clue that it was really
That's funny.
Not missing her.
Robin sent this to us on the Facebook page. Listen to Robin from across the pond. And it is a great story. In fact, I pitched it to...
Gather around, folks. Listen to this.
Here it comes. I pitched it to the producer at Handle. And he might talk about this a little bit. But what first I want to do, if you go to thedadpodcast.com/ or facebook.com/dadpodcast, you'll see the photo that they put to sell this thing. They are in gold satin sheets. He is wearing some kind of Calvin Klein, navy blue, whatever they did to make tidy whitey seem sexy,
yeah.
which evidently it's just to lower the leg a little bit, but keep the lines in there.
Mm-hmm.
She's wearing some kind of, you know, lingerie, and then they're kissing. So they're in like, they're in almost a yin-yang type situation and kissing.
Yeah,
which
Spider-Man,
is very sexy. Yes.
Spider-Man and Mary Jane from that first
very
movie.
Very sexy, but I can't imagine... myself ever being in that situation and feeling good about it. But,
no, I'm too far away from the things I'm really interested in.
Exactly. This story could bring a tear to the eye of any woman who feels the slightest bit of insecurity when looking in the mirror. The dubious art of photoshopping pictures into oblivion has been commonplace for decades, ever since the first version of Adobe's program hit shelves in 1988. Matters only grew murkier with the rise of the selfie and the overused Instagram filters, which make nothing look real. There's simply no such thing as a casual, unstaged, unmanipulated photo anymore.
Except on Paco's Instagram.
That's where you get full, awesome, pure, dad, stay-at-home schlubs. There you go. You're welcome, ladies.
If I knew
ladies.
How to use a filter, I would.
It's easy to fall into the trap of relying upon these digital tools. I'm going to start paraphrasing this. Is that so? This wife,
yeah,
wanted to get like lingerie photo, did sure, a photo sure. shoot
Luna,
for her husband.
Luna did a boudoir, yeah, photo. Yeah. Not quite boudoir, but
big fan. By the way, ladies, if you are, you know, if you're kind of sitting there, what do you get to the for the guy who has everything?
Yeah,
pictures of you scantily yeah. clad.
We have a picture somewhere in a closet that's about that size of Luna in a leather jacket or something. I don't know what it is.
Only a leather jacket,
like a poster size. No. It wasn't so much sexy as it was like lots of makeup.
Gotcha.
And, yeah.
So this guy, she, and now here's the thing, ladies, I would actually have a friend, don't go pay some guy,
okay.
especially with any amount of money that your husband contributes, because there's going to be a part of him that's going to go, so let me get this straight. I paid for my gift for me, I paid yeah. part of some 24-year-old dude to stare at you naked, wearing nothing but a
yeah.
shirt of mine,
yeah,
that's what right. that's what I'm getting right now.
Right.
But this guy, he got the photos. And the husband was crushed to open the picture book and see a different woman than the one he married. And he wrote a response to the photographer, and this is what it says. I don't want you to think that I am in any way upset with you, but I have some food for thought that I would like to pass on to you. I've been with my wife since we were 18 years old, and we have two beautiful children together. We have had many ups and downs over the years, and I think, well, actually, I know that my wife did these pictures for me to spice things up. When I opened the album that she gave to me, my heart sank. These pictures, while they are beautiful and you are clearly a very talented photographer, they are not my wife. You made every one of her flaws disappear. And while I'm sure this is exactly what she asked you to do, it took away everything that makes up our life. When you took away her stretch marks, you took away the documentation of my children. When you took away her wrinkles, you took away over two decades of our laughter and our worries. When you took away her cellulite, you took away her love of baking and all the goodies we have eaten over the years. I'm not telling you all of this to make you feel horrible. You're just doing your job, and I get that. I'm actually writing you to thank you. Seeing these images made me realize that I honestly do not tell my wife enough how much I love her and adore her just as she is. She hears it so seldom that she actually thought these photoshopped images are what I wanted and needed her to look like. I have to do better, and for the rest of my days, I'm going to celebrate her in all her imperfectness. Thanks for the reminder. I love this.
Yes.
I and Robin hit the nail on the head. He saw this, and he said, I thought you would like it. And I, because to me, I feel like this guy has found a nice way of articulating what I've kind of been saying on this show again and again and again. And I know that this is a show for dads, but we also have a good chunk of moms that listen. I mean, it's yeah, almost 40% sure. of our audience, and I think it's good for...
Really? 40%?
Almost.
Okay. I was surprised. I thought it would be more than that, actually.
No. It's only
just
40.
Because
just because of our manginas?
Well, no, because online they're like... Bap, 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 bap. I thought there were a lot more of them than that.
Well, great. Now it just became 35.
Well, good. Then we'll get some peace and quiet.
When did you become Miller High Life?
I don't know.
I like it. I wish you guys could. You should have seen that on Periscope, because he did the even. He went into the role. He became Daniel Day Lewis and just like, oh, finally. He like Archie Bunker or some crap.
That's a very beautifully beautifully written.
Yeah.
No, there's a grammatic error in it, but I'm just going to assume that that's the website.
It could be the way I read it.
No, well, is it seldom or seldomly? Because I think that it should be seldomly.
Yeah, I'm going to randomly go through.
Well, you can do it.
Let's just recap what's happened today.
Control
you can't
F
remember
search.
An eight-page children's book, and yet I'm supposed
that
to
that I read 40 times.
Yes,
anyway.
Yeah. Seldomly, I got to find the word seldomly in this 400-word essay, and out of all the beautifulness that is to be taken out of this, what you walk away with is, well, there's some grammatical errors, so that means his point is for shit in my mind. I still have it after all that talking.
It's a beautiful, beautiful statement that he does, and I know it supports in a tremendously eloquent way a position that you've been putting forth for some time about even today you were saying that it's yes, sure, the sex is good, but the love makes it better. That's true of what you see when you look at her.
Yeah, and I think that's when I saw this and I read it, it really kind of helped me to articulate what I have felt is that because I know I've talked about it, and I've had other people, especially, it's usually not other married guys that I have this conversation with where they kind of push back. It's mostly other single guys where it's like, nah, that's not, that can't be, you're full of shit is what I get thrown at a lot.
Right.
And I just don't buy it. I honestly.
Here's the thing. Here's my only problem with the way you put it out is that you put it out as being universal, and I don't know that that's actually true.
Maybe I don't mean it to be universal, but I don't think it is an anomaly. I don't think that there are less men out there that are married to their wives and that look at them and go, ah, man, I wish I had a 24-year-old co-ed.
See, this would be a lot more convincing, an argument from you, if your wife wasn't so hot. It really undermines the strength of your thing, because when you look at Marge Schott, you're telling me there's a guy at home going,
I don't know who Marge Schott is. Oh. You're going to have to pick something after 1982.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg. I don't know. Just somebody. Wait a minute. I was trying to think of somebody else that you wouldn't remember.
That I would not remember?
That you would not know. Make another reference from the 80s.
The 80s? I was around in the 80s.
All right. You're looking at somebody up now?
I'm looking at Marge Schott. See, this, I know how the internet works because I'm 36.
Yeah, hold on to it while you can.
I know. Listen, I'm going to embrace it. I'm not lying.
It's going to go away in about 4 or 5 years.
I look forward to it because I don't understand it when I see it, but I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
So
I knew I was in trouble, by the way, when the magazine that I read every week, which is an entertainment type magazine, started changing its like layout and the font and everything else, and that it would take me several issues to be able to come to terms with the fact that it looked different. It's the same material.
Yeah.
They just changed the way it laid it on the page.
So you were, I think I interrupted you, and you were saying something about Marge Schott.
Well, I'm just saying that there are some rough-looking men, and there are some rough-looking women, and they can be loved, but I'm saying that if you had a wife that was more of a, say, like a gorilla, then your position of how beautiful she is to you and how much better the sex is because of
so
your
I
love.
So I should cut up my wife's face so I can have credibility on this subject, is what you're saying?
No, but I'm just saying that I'm letting you know that when people go, yeah, you're full of shit, it could be because the person standing behind you is ravishing.
Oh, I see. I get what you're saying.
Yeah, I love my wife. She looks as beautiful to me as ever.
It doesn't matter what she looks like.
Right, exactly. You're like,
really, dude?
Wait a minute.
Really?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe that I don't know. I agree that there is a
portion of people who
Here's my point. This is why I bring all this up. Thank you. That you've helped me realize something is that my wife, when we were young, I've known her since she was a teenager. And she's known me the same, is that she was more insecure then about the way she looked than she is now.
Okay.
And I think that, here's the thing. Well, if you showed a picture of her in a bikini at 18, and a picture of her, a picture of her in a bikini now, that there would be people who would look at it and go, wow, look at that, you know, hot 18-year-old or whatever.
Yeah.
Whereas I definitely prefer the woman now. That's my preference. Even having known the woman then, and I think, like this guy says, is that I think that what adds to it, and maybe even eliminates my whole prostitute theory we started this episode is that history. It's that history that adds to it that makes it. And I'm worrying because I feel like there's a way that I might be articulating this that for the ladies that do listen or that are like, oh, geez, so you're settling it. But I just because I'm a dumb guy still, even though I have a mangina, and I just can't put it in a way that I think properly represents what I believe most of the guys out there, especially guys that are married.
Yeah.
There is a different mentality for a guy that gets married and has a family than there is, say, as an example, Chris Booker, who is the single guy on the other show. I think there's a different mentality, although there is a lot of similarities in our mindset. So let me shit on my own point. go ahead.
Well, I have questions about the specific thing, not the larger theme we're talking about.
All right.
So I don't want to come off the larger theme unless you're done.
No, let's do it.
All right.
I was going to move on.
Two things. he said seldom. I looked it up while you were talking.
Thank you, appreciate it.
And I just think it's not correct, but it could just be that the copywriter got it wrong in the first thing. Yeah. But the other thing is I'm a little worried about, first of all, the beautiful things that he said feel like things he ought to have said to his wife.
Yeah.
And that we should never hear about it.
Yeah.
I'm wondering how his letter to the photographer and the entire story became a thing that is on the internet that we're
assuming
about.
That the photographer posted it as a kind of a, you know what I mean? So. Like an aha thing. And maybe it, because it became a viral thing and it got spread out. I mean, sure, we could be cynical about it and say that this is where I get about this stuff where it's like, I think maybe where you're going and maybe I'm putting words in your mouth is that you're like, what if some person who writes for Cosmopolitan magazine just came up with this whole story and it's all horseshit?
Yeah.
Right. To me, let's say even if that's what they did. The overall message of what's going on, I don't think anybody would look at and go, that's a bad idea. I think that everybody can get behind and wrap their mind around. And if and I don't think – here's what I think everybody thinks. Oh, well, that's going to trick us into thinking. No.
Right.
People who are more shallow and purely, you know, do things based on looks are going to be that way no matter what.
Can you scroll up? Is that picture that you're describing? Oh, it's a baby now.
No, I closed that window.
You
closed
that window. It doesn't matter. It was a man and a woman lying on a bed.
Yes. In gold satin sheets.
Heads together, but their bodies pointing the opposite direction. That's not him and his wife.
No, that's just some other thing.
Is this the wife?
Smart shot.
Because that's the one I found when I looked up the thing.
That's hilarious. She looks like a Victoria's Secret model.
Absolutely. So if that's the wife.
Oh, my God. Seriously? Oh, I hate my life.
That's funny.
I hope
we'll
this went back to
we'll just wait while you
sort
that
I'm good.
Out.
I did. Okay. It's fixed.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. okay. So the picture I'm looking at is a woman sort of seen from above. She's lying on a bed. She's got considerable bosoms or bazooms, and they are covered with some almost looks like a leaf.
She looks like she could pass for late 30s, early 40s. Yeah.
That might be her, and there may have been wrinkles removed and so on and so forth. What that isn't is a picture of what she really looks like.
Yes.
What the media has done is they've used either a picture of her that she had touched where she looks vivacious and sort of that media perfect chick, or they just put up a picture of, you know, Brooklyn Decker or whatever it is, if that's the name of somebody, I think.
Brooklyn Decker, you are correct.
Yes, thank you.
She was a sports. She was the Kate Upton before Kate Upton.
So what I'm saying is that the very photo that's included with this picture, and I think this is one that a lot of them used, goes against the message of the story.
Of the thing, yeah.
Yeah.
But that's maybe that's just to like the other pictures to get you hooked in,
right?
And maybe it's like the Jehovah Witness who knocks on your door too early on a Saturday morning to spread a message. It's like, really, why don't you come at like 3 p.m?
Yeah,
maybe
if it was her, we could talk. But,
there you go. Yeah. What you need is Hooters girls in bikinis to help spread the word of Jehovah.
Yeah. Or any word, really. Anyway, so I was just interested in some of those other sort of minor details.
Here's another story that was sent to us via a listener that I liked. Is an Idaho family's night out turned upsetting when fellow diners gave them a nasty note claiming their 10-month-old son was ruining their dinner with his screaming. Katie Leach admits that her son Drew's favorite new thing is yelling, adding he sounds like a dinosaur. He will yell when I tell him no, when he's super excited and happy, or just for no reason at all. The Nampa, Idaho mom wrote in a Facebook post to news station KTVB-TV, I'm doing my best to teach him indoor voice and to not yell back at me when telling him no. While her extended family ate at Texas Roadhouse, which she adds they frequent because it's a loud, lively restaurant, her son yelled off and on. Soon after they got their food, two customers, women in their late 50s or early 60s, walked over and slammed a note next to her, then returned to their table, chuckling.
Thanks for ruining our meal. I believe this is a recap. I believe you did this 2 weeks ago.
No, really?
I think we did.
Thank you for ruining our dinner with our screaming with your screaming kid. Sincerely, the table behind
you. The chat room can jump in and confirm this for me if I'm completely wrong or unless you have a new point to make.
No, well, I don't think I read this.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I heard the story elsewhere, and I could swear I...
Well, here's the thing. I know I've told a story similar to this.
Okay. Oh. But within the last couple of weeks?
No.
Okay.
I don't think... Well, then maybe I screwed up.
No, it's all right. Listen, not everyone can remember everything all the time.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you want to... Why don't you ask the internet about 2 weeks ago?
That would have more teeth if you had just done it just then.
Well, we don't know. We don't know without a shadow of a doubt if that's what I've already shared this story.
Right,
the only person
true.
Who would know, I would guess, is Jonathan, who sent it in, because the first time he heard it, he would be like, oh, yeah, that was me that
true
sent
enough.
That in.
True enough.
But here's the thing.
Go ahead. I'm sorry I interrupted.
I don't care how much this kid... I don't care how much this kid was yelling or screaming or anything like that. Like, it is on the – now, here's the thing. I wish I could be there, because if it is, like, you could barely hear this kid yelling over the whole thing. Because I think everybody's instinct is to blame these women for what they did.
Yes.
And where I don't like what these women did is that they, A, have poor penmanship. I mean, you can see it right here in the picture.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But B, like, the anger and snarkiness and the passive aggression of, like, dropping a note off and, like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? But I do kind of see, even as a parent, and I think that all of us listening to this show, at least,
yes,
who do not buy into the puppy dog kittens and rainbows, you know, part of parenting, that we do kind of think, it's like, listen, if your kid's being loud, then you need to handle that. Mm-hmm. Either you don't get to go out that night, or you got to take the kid. I've done it multiple times where the boys just aren't listening or they're being a-holes. And so I go out, let's go. Yeah. And I take them outside and I have a powwow. And luckily I haven't had to do it yet, but I'm sure the day will come where they will test that boundary and they will find that their father is not someone who changes his mind.
Right.
But because I'll say to them, I go, listen, if you don't knock it off, I'm going to take you home because this isn't okay. I did it to him when we went out with Natalie's birthday.
Oh,
I think it was a thing where I can't remember if it was her birthday or if it was something that, you know, it was her birthday because they were just being assholes.
And you took them outside and gave them
She wanted to go to California Pizza Kitchen. They did not.
Oh.
And then Jacob doesn't like the smell of the spinach dip that they have there, but Natalie likes it. And so he's making this big face, blah, blah, blah. So I take take him outside. I said, excuse me. Yeah. When we go out to dinner for your birthday, does your mom bitch and moan and complain about eating McDonald's?
Right.
And he goes, no. And I go, do you think mom loves McDonald's?
Right.
And he says, yes. And I said, no.
You want to talk about a stink?
Yeah, exactly.
McDonald's, you got to wash your hair twice to get that out.
I said, no, mom doesn't love McDonald's. I said, mom loves California Pizza Kitchen. That's why we're here right now. And I said,
right.
He goes, but the stuff stinks. I said, I understand the stuff stinks. But how much does mom do for you?
Yeah.
How much does mom suck up because it's what you want to do? No matter how tired she is.
Right.
Or no matter how much stuff she's got to get done, what does she do for you? And he said, a lot. I said, exactly. So all I am asking of you is to return the favor to your mother for the next 2 hours.
Right.
And just sit there, tell her how pretty she looks, smile at her, and tell her happy birthday as often as you want, but there will be no whining, there will be no crying, there will be no bitching about how hot your pizza is and how you can't eat it, or any of that stuff.
Yeah.
And thankfully, we went back inside and everything was, I had to give a look.
Yeah.
There was a, you know, kind of
thing. Yeah, 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 like with a dog.
Yeah.
He gets up and starts going over to the thing,
I do the whisper, and I poke him in the throat. and it was fine, but I don't know. I just feel like if it is a situation where say we lean more towards the favor of the parent, and it is a thing where a kid's just going blah, 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 and then you don't hear from him for 5 minutes, and these people are hypersensitive to kid noise and that shrill, high pitched young kid voice, then I kind of go, you're bitches.
As a parent, I think you need to play it by ear in terms of where you are and what's going on.
Right.
And the degree to which the noise they're making is possibly bothering other people. Generally speaking, I think these old dried out coots are probably bitches. But at the same time, I do think some responsibility does fall to the parents, even if it's a family restaurant. You go to a movie, and let's say you go to the matinee with your own kid, and so there's going to be other kids there, and it's the Minions or whatever the fuck, and it's going to be cacophony in there.
Yes.
But if one particular kid is just screaming like fireballs.
Yeah.
Get that kid up and out. Just because there are other kids there doesn't mean that they can ruin it for everybody.
My kids are borderline perfectly behaved in movies, and it is because I have laid down the law and said, listen, you got to knock it off. Otherwise, there is no movies.
Yeah.
Like, if you can't. And that
I gotta say that to Luna.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shut up, or there are no more movies. Because what bothers me is I got 7 and 4 year olds, and when you got a 10 and an 8 year old, and they're like the whole time, I just want to be like, dude, what the fuck, man?
Yeah.
And I think, to me, I think that a movie is also very, very different from a dinner too, especially at a roadhouse.
Well,
we're not talking about a nice, you know, fucking 5-star steakhouse where you're also seeing tits.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I do. Now, where you're all student bits. Yeah, I do. oh, boy. Okay, so what I was going to ask you was, with the California Pizza Kitchen scenario,
yes,
you guys went back inside.
Yes.
You had a pleasant time.
Yes.
Did the parking attendant come in and slap a note on the table that said, thanks for ruining my evening?
No.
Oh, okay, nobody, that didn't happen.
Right. Nobody was affected outside
right,
that
go,
IKEA.
When you go into the outside, right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, anybody at IKEA gets what they have coming.
Yeah. Here's a note that was sent to me from an old – she was actually never a teacher of mine, but she listens to the show, and her name is Miss Chris, and she was the best teacher that I never had.
That's great. I remember you talking about Miss Chris.
Really, really helped me out a lot, and I'm a big fan. And she sent me a couple things here that I have neglected to get to, and this one came in recently, and it kind of did make me go, oh, that's interesting, and I normally don't kind of tilt my head at stuff like this. But it's a quickie. Just a reminder to all of you parents out there to be modest with your gifts from Santa. Not all parents have a ton of cash to spend on making their kids Christmas special. So it doesn't make sense to have Santa give your kid a PlayStation 4, a bike, and an iPad while his best friend at school gets a new hat and mittens from Santa. You know, give something small from Santa and make the more expensive presents from you. You can explain the value of money to kids, but you can't explain Santa's discrimination to a heartbroken kid. Keep that in mind this year and always. Now, kudos to the parents whose kid can kind of make that comparison. I never would have thought of that. But what I like most out of the story, and it's probably not what I should like most, is that one of the biggest issues I have with Santa Claus is the credit. You know what I mean? I need the kudos.
I see.
I don't like that someone else
it sounds
is
like
getting credit for something that I did.
A prickish ego stroke is required.
Yes. I'm not sure what that means, but I'm sure I agree.
It was the title of one of the episodes when somebody was piling on you for needing a credit for something.
Somebody called me a prick?
No, you called. Never mind. It doesn't matter.
All right.
I feel like I'm out here alone today. Not that you're not here, but that everything I say, there's no one who's going to back me up.
This is a story that somebody sent to me. An Idaho family's night out turned out upsetting when fellow diners gave them a nasty note claiming... what were you going
to
say?
I don't know. I feel I don't want to disparage... wait a minute. Miss Chris. I was like, what was... I couldn't think of what her... Dr. Chris, I couldn't think of what the word was.
Call it doctor.
Oh, my God. I'm lost here. I think it's a very interesting idea. There's something about that kind of
well,
makes
I think
me
what,
feel uncomfortable.
What makes you feel uncomfortable is the idea that you are beholden to somebody else's situation, I think. But here's the thing. I think it's a valid point in that because here's what it is. It's asking for you to be hyper aware of everyone else in your kid's social circle, which is next to impossible. And it's also putting intent where there is none. Unintentionally,
precisely.
For lack of a better way of putting, is that you unknowingly could be doing this, and that's what I think is kind of the point of this message, kind of being again virally sent out.
Okay, I sort of feel like, why is the onus on me to shift the type of presents that Santa's giving my kids?
Yeah,
so that Santa's not lavishing love on him in the form of gift, so that your kid doesn't feel bad. Why isn't the onus on you to get a better fucking job so you can buy the stuff for your kid?
That rule doesn't really work for
because
you. I'm gonna be honest.
Now, hang on a second. Fuck the Santa part of this. All due respect to Miss Chris. Fuck the Santa part of it. Your kid is still going to end up with the iPad, and that kid is still going to end up with an onion. Whoever it came from, he's going to know that you got, you know, the one kid got something better and he got something worse.
Uh-huh.
And whether it's Santa or his parents, no, it's better that he should realize it at that young age that his parents are letting him down and not Santa. I don't know. I think it's quicksand to go down here, and I feel like this is the same thing that goes, well, listen, not everybody has mittens, so no one can wear mittens to school because in the kids who don't have mittens, they're going to feel bad because they don't have them and you do.
Here's the thing. I don't know when we peed in a fountain and we became opposites of each other.
But, yeah, I think it was at the in the pool, in the backyard wading pool.
Yeah, right. We should not be adjacent.
No, no.
Because normally that, I think, would be my opinion. But yeah. For whatever reason, I am overwhelmed with the Dooley Christmas spirit here. And you all of a sudden got Warshamified.
Yes. But here's what I say. And here's where I agree with Miss Chris. That there is a great value in having an awareness, situational awareness, like in the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
The ladies who wrote the note didn't really have very good situational awareness, and the parents who had the crying baby didn't really have one. And being aware of others around you and how they might feel about something, I think, is a valuable and important thing to instill in children and to help them develop, however you end up doing that.
Okay.
Oh, come on, I was trying to get back out of the hole, man. Ah, whatever.
I can't. What is? I gave you a deflating helping hand.
Oh, okay.
You weren't in any kind of hole anyway.
Oh no, I wasn't. I just
you
feel
lost
bad.
Me a little bit on the onion. I mean, whoever gives a kid an onion
well,
from Santa.
Well, you know what I'm saying. Okay, fine. Now you've got me back going again. Okay, this kid has an iPad, and that kid has last year's whatever.
No, you're right. You're right in the sense that a life is a life, and that. But what I think the lesson should be is that. You got to learn to accept the life that you have or do something to change that.
Yes.
Right? But not necessarily live your life by comparing it to what everybody else is doing, is I think what
yes.
you're saying.
On
is
either the, side of that,
yeah,
that equation.
That whether or not what the gift is from
yes.
on Christmas does not affect your social economic status
right.
for you know the time being.
Yes.
I think
and
is what you're getting at.
Perhaps the people who are, it doesn't matter. First of all, forget the whole Santa thing, because really, where does that get us?
Right?
I mean, I don't really... We did it a little bit, and then it kind of petered out, and we did some of what even she was talking about. We were guilty of making a single gift from Santa, or a grift, as mm-hmm. the case may be. It was always one single thing, and it was usually the top of the line.
Yeah. Well,
whatever, it was usually the big gift of the year. And it never once occurred to me that somebody else's child was getting an onion
from Santa
and therefore felt badly in comparison to the love I was showering on my own child through the guise of Santa.
Either way you shake it, it's, I think, an interesting observation for everybody to decide on their own what they're going to do.
Agreed. Yeah? Yes.
Here's a wonderful Butcher Drew.
All right.
He sent in – what I like is that he sent in his – He goes, I sent in my Halloween hack. He's in the process. He's in the developmental stages of his coffee table book, which, by the way, I would definitely own a life hacks from Butcher Drew. You know what I mean? The shortcuts to the world we live in from a guy who cuts meat. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that,
yes.
if there's anybody who's going to know shortcuts.
Yes.
And see what I'm doing there?
Yeah. If there's anybody who's going to know what strip club has the best cut of meat,
uh-huh.
that would probably also be
right.
Him.
He's more of a life coach than a butcher, I think.
Yes.
But I like his idea. He says, so last year my wife was out of town for Halloween. And I didn't feel like fooling with trick-or-treaters. So this is how I won Halloween. Place an empty bowl by the door with a note that said, sorry, I'm not home. Please take one. Happy Halloween from the workmen's.
Oh, that's awesome. You're a sick man. That's great.
I don't know. We talked about it, I think, recently on one of the episodes where
yes.
I foolishly sat up there while kids just grabbed
it. Yes, it was last week.
Wouldn't look at it. Wouldn't look me in the eye while they grabbed it.
I like that. I like
oh
that.
Oh, my gosh.
One way to possibly improve that is to just fill the bowl with peeled and blanched onions, just the small onions. And then
but then you got to take the onion your kid got for Christmas. And
that's
sad. If you're not only are you, you know what I mean?
Well, if you're giving him pearl onions for Christmas, that's a pretty sad thing too. So,
while we're on the Halloween subject, the best places to buy Halloween candy?
Yes.
Costco and Target. For mini and snack-sized candy bars, go to Target. You can get a mix of 245 Twix, Snickers, Three Musketeers, and Milky Ways for $15, which is 6 cents each. Or you can get a variety pack of Baby Ruth, Crunch Bars, and Butterfingers for about 7 cents each. Costco sells a 5-pound bag with 6 different kinds of candy for $16, which is about 8 cents each. If you want to be the cool house and hand out full-size candy bars, go to Costco. They're selling a 30-pack mix of Snickers, Twix, Milky Ways, and Three Musketeers for $13 after an instant rebate, which is 43 cents each. They're also selling packs of specific candy bars for a little more. For example, you can get 48 full-size Snickers for $28, which is 58 cents each. Don't sign up for a Costco membership just to buy full-size candy bars, though, because you can get them at Target for a few cents more. I like that idea that somebody who heard this, I mean, this is a prep service for a radio station.
Right, right.
Imagine the, if anybody stopped reading before that sentence, the number of people.
Yeah.
It's like those assholes that when gas started getting expensive, they'd be like, I got to go get a motorcycle now to make gas affordable. Okay, let me get this straight. Gas went up $1 a gallon, and to offset the expense of that, where a motorcycle, let's say it gets 50 miles to the gallon, and your bullshit a beater Honda Civic, probably rocking about 35 to 40 miles per gallon, you're going to go drop
if
$8,000.
The wind is at your back. Yeah.
$8,000 on a motorcycle to save up the difference. That's a good call. That's a good call.
Yeah, that might be why you're driving the car you're driving.
Exactly. so they go get a Costco membership so they can save money on ice.
Well, I would say go buy those things this week rather than waiting, because the longer you wait, the more madness is going to be waiting for you.
I usually go week of.
Yeah.
I go and I grab.
Yeah. Well, I do.
What are you guys doing for Halloween? You doing the trick-or-treating, or are you going to be giving the candy out?
Oh, I don't think there'll be any trick-or-treating going on. I don't exactly know. Luna has a thing, a costume that she's getting into, and she always wants everything to match. I don't particularly want to match the world that she's stepping into.
Can we know the world, or is this like she's pregnant with a baby of some kind?
No, we'll save it, because we do some work goes into it, and there'll be pictures and stuff like that, so I don't want to spoil it.
There'll be pictures? She's getting a boudoir photo shoot of her. And are you going to come up
in zombie makeup?
Well, here's the thing. I need a little bit of a heads up, because last year you were known as Creepy Adam.
I may not be.
Scary Adam?
I think it was Creepy.
Yeah,
I'm not
Creepy
sure.
Adam, because you were that crazy clown from American Horror Story.
Twisty the Clown, yes.
Yeah. So I just need a heads up so my kids can come up with your nickname for Halloween.
I'm not sure that I'm going to have any costume at this point, because she's not participating in transforming me, which is really what I wanted. I started talking to her about this in January.
So like, you're...
Let's get this going.
You're
going
to go for less made up, creepy.
That's what I'm going to go with pouting in his room, Adam.
You're going
to
go.
You do it.
I'm not celebrating, Adam.
Right, exactly. I'm going to go with the Butcher Drew approach.
I don't approve of your choices, Adam, is what you're going to go with.
Yes. But she, I don't know, it's just, she picked a universe in which there's something great for her, but there's not really anything in there for me. Particularly enough, I like a little gore. I like something that's a little scary. Mm-hmm. And other than a head-to-toe costume that we would have to build from scratch, which I don't want to do.
Yeah.
There really isn't much there for me, but we'll see.
I'm so sorry about your white people problem.
That's okay. But I think we are going to go, because Target, the candies they described are not the only big sales they're having, or Costco would be another good place.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're like a resident Target expert.
Yeah, we're gonna give out condoms this year.
Yeah,
you can get those in bulk at Costco.
At Costco
as well? Yeah.
Is that the most cost-effective? When was the last time you had to use a condom? Have we talked about this on the show? We probably don't have time to go into this now.
No. That's not
no to all of them.
No to all of them. The last time I used a condom, I can't recall.
Right?
No.
Mine would have been after Jacob was born, I think, because Natalie couldn't take the pill while she was breastfeeding, I think, and we went back to the olden days, as I like to call them.
Right. I cannot recall. I think in my married life, I'd be surprised if I have.
Right,
I can't remember. I'll have to ask her.
Yeah.
I'll have to ask her.
You might have. Best case scenario would be the same situation as I had, right? Where in between kids, maybe for a bit.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, every time with the girls over at the Treasure.
Or of course.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You don't mess around with that.
I don't even eat the steak without a condom on.
Exactly. But they're near raw meat all the time. Yeah, that's exactly. Why you can't. You don't want to get Ebola. Whatever that's called.
You know, Ebola on the stage three.
Ebola, stage three. Ebola. Ebola. All right. That's our show. Send us emails with your questions for Rachel. Been a while since we've done that. I think I have two, but we could use some more. I know you're make up a problem. Say a problem you think your friend has. I don't know. Also, facebook.com/dadpodcast. Join the group. It is Staying Frosty with the Dad Podcast is the name of the Facebook group. If you want to chat with like-minded parents and fans of this show, that is the place to do it. You can see a picture that Paco takes right here from within the studio.
Oh, shit.
Or not this week. Listen live at mixlr.com/dadpodcast. All of the URLs and everything are in the description of this episode. Please continue to share these shows with a friend. Email it to them. Share it on Facebook. Lots of you have shared them on Twitter, especially Laura does that a lot, and I appreciate it. And now Paco's going to tell you about our Amazon banner.
See here, you got to go do this thing for us because it's really important that you do it. You got to go to the Dad Podcast website and scroll right down to the bottom. There's a banner down there. It says Amazon on it. Click on that banner. It'll take you straight through to Amazon. And when you get there, you bookmark the site. That's right. I said bookmark that site, you son of a bitch. And every time you go back to that site, you're going to use that bookmark and you're going to do your shopping and buying your whatnots and your wherefores and so on and so forth. And every time you do it, it's not going to cost you anything extra, but it's going to mean the world to these fellows on the Dad Podcast. So thank you very much.
So something happened in the chat room while you were doing that that has made me very happy.
I'm certain you weren't laughing at me.
No, I was laughing at you too. And then this was icing on the cake.
I see, good.
See what Super Dave wrote here? We need a Paco costume. Now, usually, the closest that we come to radio show type sweepstakes or situations is when you have the audacity for Christmas to buy your wife, Dr. Laura Schlesinger's, the proper care and feeding of a
yes,
husband.
Yes.
Now, this year, if you send me a photo of you dressed as a Paco in a Paco costume, if you make your own Paco costume and send it in to show at the Dad Podcast, I will send you one of my albums signed if you are so inclined, or if you just want to send it in. Yeah, I don't want any of your bullshit comedy. Feel free to say that. Save me some postage. But if you would like an album or something for your effort, I would love. Wouldn't you?
Yes, I would be highly amused by whatever.
Here's the thing. I don't even want to throw my friend under the bus. I just don't. It's weird for me to also say, "Hey, dress as me."
Yeah, I understand.
But I would like that. Sure, right. I'll send two CDs if you can find a friend. Or take two photos of you dressed as each of us individually or combine it in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
And please know in advance that we will be posting these on Facebook for all to enjoy.
Yes.
But I will definitely send you one of my albums. And just let me know if you want it signed or if you just want it
If we get more than one Paco, the winning Paco photograph will become my profile picture for a period of time.
Oh, look at that. Wow, we are a radio station. What do I think if I do this and then hopefully let's see if this goes. Oh, damn it. Oh.
That works.
Yeah, that's not what I wanted to do, though. But I wanted to, I think it's here. Let's see. There we go. That's what a radio station sounds like.
That's good.
All right. On behalf of Paco Lancini, a.k.a. Adam Dooley, this is Justin Warsham saying, hug your kids, hump your loved one, and stay frosty, my friends.